You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? As always, it is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenjas. I'm a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and your host here at the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams and part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just before we dive into today's special guest, I wanted to remind you guys that NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Now it's time to introduce today's special guest and today's episode. We're kind of taking a different path here, taking a little bit of a break from, you know, directly covering all the Los Angeles Rams news. And there's really not much going on right now, as we know, you know, mini camps wrapped up and all that. But today's episode, I got Underdog Fantasy's Hayden Winks. And in my opinion, no bias here. I'm saying this on the record right here. I think Hayden produces the best fantasy football content on the internet right now. No matter what league you're playing in, you know, no matter what format, 12 teams, 16 teams, dynasty, or whatever the case may be, I think Hayden's stuff is definitely going to help you when it comes to either taking your friend's money or, you know, just having that pride and having your chest puff out a little bit after this fantasy football season. But we're going to dive into everything that, you know, covers the Los Angeles Rams today. We're going to talk about their running back groups, obviously the receivers, the quarterback, and everything in between. But my man, Hayden, how are you doing, brother?
Good. I'm doing good. I'm going to Venmo you for that strong introduction. You did not need to say any of that stuff. But yeah, glad to be on. I'm super impressed that you're doing this 5 times per week. All you listeners out there, you got to appreciate it. That is quite the grind that Sosa's putting out all this content for you guys. So you guys are in a lucky spot.
Yeah, man, most definitely. I appreciate that as well. And it's a grind, but it's fun, and we find a way to get through it. So that's where we're at right now. But we're going to dive first into, I think, what is probably the most interesting player on the Rams offense, probably the guy that most people, you know, want some sort of a share of. And that's obviously going to be running back Cam Akers. Now, when you look at Cam Akers, does he land as a running back one in your projections? And for the record, for those that either don't play fantasy football or just aren't super into it, running back one doesn't necessarily mean the number one running back in the NFL, just a number one running back on your fantasy football team. So a top 12 running back in standard default type of leagues. Does he land as a running back one in your projections? Or, you know, do you think he's more of like a top of the second tier type of running back? And, you know, whichever way you go here, is there any specifics in general that kind of have you more excited or, you know, bullish or bearish in terms of the projection? Things like, you know, touchdown upside or maybe PPR upside or, you know, maybe having to share a workload with a guy like Darrell Henderson?
So Cam Akers on Underdog Fantasy, he's being drafted as the 8th running back overall. So the market thinks that he's a running back one. I'm about like at RB12, and it's nothing against Cam Akers, but like right now, if you look at like fantasy running backs, there's like a group of like 15 that are really, really strong. And I think that Cam Akers has like top 5, top 6 fantasy upside. When Sean McVay says that he's an every down running back, you've got my attention. And that's how they used him last year. Like the touch totals down the stretch, 22, 32, 18, 25, 30, and 19. And he was doing that on a bum ankle down the stretch. So coming into the NFL, Cam Akers was most definitely a workhorse running back in my evaluation. When you're that young, that productive, he's got nice hands. He can run with explosion. He can run with a little bit of power. He really is a high, I thought a high upside running back. So for me, the only difference right now would be some of the other guys have done it before, and Cam Akers, this is like his first chance to do it. So that's why maybe I'm lower a little bit, but Cam Akers is a total baller. The Rams offense should be very good again. So ultimately, I'm pretty bullish on Cam Akers, and I think the same thing for Darrell Henderson, too.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense, right? All the guys that are coming in ahead of him are going to be, like you mentioned, a lot of the established guys, the Christian McCaffreys, Dalvin Cooks, Derrick Henrys, and Saquons, and so forth. And I think it makes sense. But at the same time, you know, I feel like there's a lot more running back depth in this year's class than there typically is. And as a fantasy player, I'm trying to land in that 10th to 12th pick spot, or yep, if you're playing in a deeper league, you know, 15th, 16th, whatever the case is, because I want to double back on two of these guys in the 12th and 13th spot if I can, as opposed to, you you know, landing in the top two or top three and getting one of those premier guys. But, and I similarly, you know, look at Cam Akers in a similar way. He could be a workhorse. He does have that catching upside coming out of the backfield. He obviously, you know, is strong enough to work in near the goal line and inside the 5 yard line. But another player that's very interesting here in terms of the Rams offense, and I've seen you mention it before, but I kind of forget what you were thinking about. When you talk about Daryl Henderson, he's the running back two, I guess, the backup. And I think he will have some sort of a role. You know, we don't really know for sure what he's going to be. But when you look at Daryl Henderson, do you view him as a 50-50 split type of guy? Or do you think he's a handcuff option? And if he is a handcuff, which I think most of us do believe that he is, how high do you have him ranked in terms of the other handcuffs in the league?
So I think he's one of the best handcuffs in the league. He's being drafted as the 42nd running back on Underdog Fantasy. I have him like 5 to 10 spots above that. The reasons why I have that is I think that Daryl Henderson can actually play. And some of the other handcuffs in fantasy football, I don't even know if they're any good. And I think that Daryl Henderson at least has the capability of being a home run threat. I think he runs with a decent amount of power, and he's super explosive. A lot of home run appeal. And I think that if you look at the rest of the Rams running back depth chart, if something ever happened to Cam Akers, there is no Malcolm Brown this year. It would be Daryl Henderson, and that's it. So I think that was the one thing that I kept going back to is I'm not expecting Daryl Henderson to play too much. I think he's probably going to be, what, a change of pace guy. Early downs, maybe he has like the home run threat capability. But in the event of a Cam Akers injury, I think that Daryl Henderson would vault up all the way up into like the top 15 discussion. I just think that he's actually a decent running back, and the rest of the depth chart is so bad that I think that in fantasy, he has plenty of upside. I think that he's probably being overlooked. Just because there was a timeshare last year does not mean that he would be in a timeshare this year if Cam Akers got hurt.
Yeah, and I think the similar thing too. And I'm looking at, you know, your guys' ADPs here. Other guys like Gus Edwards are ahead of him, A.J. Dillon, Kenyon Drake even, which is a little bit surprising to me. And I think I understand there, you know, those guys might have bigger roles in terms of taking, you know, some snaps from the guy that's considered a starter in that backfield. But like you mentioned, a lot of times, you know, a smart strategy here is to go after a handcuff, especially if you do have Cam Akers. You probably want the guy that's going to be next in line for a workhorse role if something does happen to Cam Akers, which he did get injured last year. And I too think that, you know, if something like that does happen, Henderson is going to be in line for a massive workload. And we saw it last season where, you know, a couple of weeks, Sean McVay went into it as he usually did with the intention to, you know, mix and match his running backs. But at the end of the day, I just don't know how much I believe in, you know, sharing running back touches. At the end of the day, you're going to have one guy who's going to be outperforming the other, and you're going to give that guy the touches. And I felt like last year they even did that with Henderson a little bit. I want to say it was in the week 3 game against the Eagles where he kind of just erupted. And you've seen him just feed him time and time again, because, I mean, you'd be silly not to. If you have one guy who's rattling off 7, 10, 12-yard gains and another who's gaining 3, 4 yards an attempt, I mean, why would you give that guy the ball, right? That would just be silly. So I do agree in terms of the intrigue when it comes to his ability as a handcuff option, but that is going to do it for the backfield. In the next segment, we're going to dive into the passing game of the Los Angeles Rams. So make sure to check into the next segment to hear about what Hayden has to say about Matthew Stafford, as well as some of the receiver options for the Rams in 2021. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in instant karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. Welcome back to the second segment of this special Thursday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. This is a fantasy football special, and I know a lot of you guys like to either take your friends' money or try to get some pride and some puffing your chest out a little bit, getting to talk that smack if you do finish first in your fantasy leagues. And I'm sure a lot of you guys are fantasy players. Some may be a little bit more avid and a little bit more intense. And myself, I like to play fantasy as well. But my man Hayden, this one, we're going to transition into the passing game here. And I tend to think there's not really much of a difference when you look at Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. And, you know, you look at the target shares, you look at the way they're used or where on the field they're used, what situations they're used, the targets, the yards after catch. I mean, it's all very eerily similar, especially when you look at the last year, the last 2 years, a little bit larger sample sizes. But when you look at these two guys, which are the 1A, 1B receivers for the Rams, Do you see any discernible difference between these guys? And if so, what do you think is the main difference between the two going into 2021?
I struggled with this question, but I ultimately came back with just, I think that Robert Woods is just a little more explosive. I think he's just the better player overall. And last year, he was the wide receiver 16 and half PPR points per game. And right now in Underdog Fantasy, he's being drafted as the wide receiver 18. So he's being drafted later than what he finished in 2020. And I think that we can all agree that Matthew Stafford is going to provide more upside for this passing offense. So I think that Robert Woods is a great value in fantasy drafts this year. I think that Cooper Kupp, it's a pretty similar case, like you mentioned. I think that he and Robert Woods are probably both going to be wide receiver twos, depending on your scoring. I think that Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are better in full PPR, but even in half PPR or standard leagues, they're so involved in the red zone. They're so involved consistently week in and week out just because of Sean McVay. So I was going to flip the question on you. I was just curious your thoughts on, with Matthew Stafford in, obviously, like, I think the biggest thing is going to be they're going to pass the ball downfield more often. So much of the production last year was scheme touches, jet sweeps, slants, all these little passes underneath. Between Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, who do you think is going to take advantage of, like, that 15-yard, like, deep crossing route? Some of these, like, high-value targets a little bit down the field. Like, neither of them are going to be running, like, 9 routes. But who's going to be, like, that intermediate crosser between Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp this year?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, you know, I tend to lean towards Robert Woods a little bit more, like you mentioned, just a little bit more naturally explosive, probably a little bit faster. You think back to those Sean McVay offenses in like 2017, 2018, where they would have Jared Goff go under center and it was a lot of heavy play action. And then right behind those linebackers who would get sucked up in play action, you know, Jared Goff is throwing darts on these, you know, crossing routes or on these digs or, you know, skinny posts, whatever the case was, to Sammy Watkins. And there was a lot of free production like that. And so I tend to think they are going to, you know, transition a little bit closer to what that kind of offense was like. Like you mentioned, it's going to be a little bit more deep crossers, a little bit further of an A dot in terms of average depth of target, a little bit more downfield passing. And like you mentioned, neither guy is going to be running those 9 routes or taking the top off the defense. That's going to be what DeSean Jackson does. But I tend to lean towards Robert Woods because I just think he's a little bit more naturally explosive, probably a little bit faster. Whereas Cooper Kupp, not to say that he can't make plays downfield, I just tend to think that this is a guy you want to utilize more in terms of the slot and in terms of, you know, third and sevens or third and tens on money downs, as they call it, trying to convert first downs, trying to move the chains. I think that's probably where he's best at. So I would probably lean with Woods, but like you mentioned, I just don't know that there's much of a difference between these two guys. I do think they're both going to be wide receiver twos as well. And I would feel good about having either of these guys going into next season because both of these guys are involved every single week. It's not like a Tyler Lockett type of variance where 1 week you're going to get 50 points and the next week or next 3 weeks you're going to get, you know, 4 or 5 points. So I like both of these guys, and I think both of them do have a higher upside because of Matthew Stafford. And ironically enough, that takes us right into the next question. I'm so intrigued to see what's going to be the difference here between Jared Goff, the former quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams, and now Matthew Stafford. This is going to be the first time, basically, that Sean McVay is going to have a new quarterback. You know, he had John Wolford for one game, or I guess 1.25 games last year, if you count that playoff game. So we really don't have any clue what this offense is going to entail with a different type of skill set in Stafford and what Sean McVay really has in his bag. Because I think at the end of the day, he did dwindle down that offense a little bit because of Jared Goff's limitations. And I don't think that Stafford necessarily has those same limitations. So when you look at this offense as a whole, you look at Stafford, do you think that he's going to improve this offense, or do you think that he's going to be a downgrade from Jared Goff and the very much familiarity that he had from running the offense for a couple of years? And in terms of, you know, the other players, the wide receivers that we mentioned, and even the running backs or anyone, the tight ends, even Tyler Higbee, do you think that Stafford and moving on to Stafford is going to be ultimately a positive for all of these other guys?
Absolutely. I think the Rams they're back in the Super Bowl conversation. Josh Norris and I, when we did our podcast, we had the Rams advancing all the way to the NFC Championship in our playoff predictions. I think, like you said, Stafford unlocked something that Jared Goff didn't. Jared Goff was fine in the system, and he's a very accurate quarterback, but the deep passing just was non-existent. And you basically saw Sean McVay scrape that out of the playbook last year. And if you look at their actions this offseason, they obviously trade for Matthew Stafford. They also signed DeSean Jackson. They draft Tutu Atwell. Everything about this offseason has been about adding a deep threat to the offense. And we already know that Sean McVay is going to scheme up guys underneath. But if he can get a quarterback that can also win downfield, that's going to be huge. So when I was doing some research, the biggest thing for Matthew Stafford and Goff over the last four seasons, Jared Goff has been top five in percentage of passes coming on play action every single season. Very heavy play action offense. Matthew Stafford, meanwhile, over those last 4 years, has ranked 26th, 15th, 33rd, and 29th in play action. So Matthew Stafford basically has never been a play action quarterback. And we all know what that means on play action. It's those intermediate crossing routes. That's why I asked you about that previous question. Mm-hmm. It's that 8 to 15 yards down the field. That's the sweet spot of play action when you're getting those linebackers to bite up. So I think that Matthew Stafford is going to bring a more explosive element to this game. It probably will help Cam Akers out because defenses are going to have to actually adjust and safeties aren't going to be able to rotate down, that type of thing. So I think that Matthew Stafford is going to provide an immediate upgrade. It just comes down to his shoulder kind of getting better. I think last year there was a couple times where his shoulder seemed like it was kind of acting up. But I think ultimately Matthew Stafford unlocks the offense that Sean McVay wants to run. And I think that's what makes the Rams so intriguing this year.
Yeah, and I tend to agree 100% with you because I look back to that 2018 offense when Jared Goff was at his best and, you know, the running game, the outside zone running game was clicking at its best. The offensive line was performing very well. That, to me, looked like the prototypical Sean McVay offense where sometimes you're going to take these deep shots when they had Brandon Cooks. They had some of these guys that were willing to work vertical, and Jared Goff was not going to just be a check down Charlie, as they say. They had the offensive line to hold up and obviously create, you know, lanes in the running game. They had the receivers to get open and create separation. And ultimately, it all worked out, I think, in favor for everybody. And now you look at this offense, I think it's going to be somewhat similar because you look back to last year, Jared Goff just became this guy that was terrified of looking downfield. And it was so strange to me because I have no idea why, you know, they still called some deep passes every now and again. And you've seen John Wolford even throw the ball a little bit deeper when he was in there. So that was very confusing to me. But like you mentioned, I think Stafford is going to throw that ball a lot deeper, not necessarily just, you know, vertical routes to DeSean Jackson. But like you said, it's going to be a lot of that 8 to 15 yards in the middle of the field and stretching out defenses vertically and horizontally that I think is going to help unlock a lot of this offense. Now, that does take us into the final few questions and into the final segment. And we're going to talk about if there's any players to hold for the Los Angeles Rams going into the future years in dynasty formats. And if there's any one or two players that Hayden is banging the table for in fantasy drafts this season, so make sure to check back for that. And make sure to check back tomorrow at the Locked On Rams podcast when we host our Mailbag Friday, as we usually do. Folks, are you having any car troubles? Do you ever go outside to find your car tires flat or your car won't even start? Well, you should absolutely check out rockauto.com for your service needs. They are a family-owned business, and they've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. That's correct, two decades. We know there's no better time than right now to try and support family-owned businesses with the strange COVID stuff going on in our world. So if you can, I urge you to try and do that. If you're a person who likes to fix things yourself or a professional and you're looking for reliably low prices, you should check out Rock Auto. All you have to do is just go to their website and check out all their available parts. It's a never-ending list, and if your car needs it, they've probably got it. Amazing selections, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us so they know that we sent you. The fitness industry is incredibly confusing and oversaturated with BS. I'd like to think that my word holds a little bit of weight as I have lost 155 pounds over the last 2.5 years. And throughout that process, I looked for the best protein bar and found a company called the Built Bar. This is by far the best. I'm telling you guys, their taste is incredible. Their texture is unlike any other protein bar. They have many different flavors, so you can really get to choose what you like. The bars are also healthy. They're low in calories, low in sugar, 19 grams of protein per bar, high in fiber, and they even work for you on a keto diet. You even get a free cooler with your purchase while the supplies last. All you have to do is just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. All you have to do, use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to the final segment here of this Thursday special of the Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Sosa Cremendas, and I'm joined by Underdog Fantasy's Hayden Winks. My man, Hayden. We're on to the final two questions here now. One of the players that I've seen you highlight from the Rams, and you've kind of talked him up a little bit, and there's been some very positive news coming out of Rams OTAs, mini camps, and I've talked about it on this podcast. A lot of fans are really, really starting to buy the hype. Fourth round pick, tight end, Jacob Harris coming out of UCF, was a former receiver there, now transitioning to a tight end slash you know, jump ball receiver slash big slot type of receiver role. So we don't really know what that's going to entail. But is there any one player on the roster, and I might have just given it away, that excites you in a dynasty format going into this, you know, future couple years for the Rams? I know Jacob Harris, like I said, is a guy that you've definitely talked about in the past.
It's definitely him. He's basically free in dynasty, and I don't want to like get the hype train rolling too much because these tight ends rarely produce, especially when you're talking about somebody who's a little bit older. But the big difference with Jacob Harris is he's a freak athlete. So I have a metric out there called like adjusted spark athleticism. It just basically takes all of the combine drills and puts them into one clean little number. And Jacob Harris was the best tight end athlete ever to go through the combine at his pro day. He is a freak athlete, particularly if you're talking for fantasy purposes. That lean, lengthy build, I'm not convinced he's going to be able to block at all. He basically was a wide receiver at UCF. But the second I saw Dane Brugler and some other analysts kind of hint that some teams were viewing him as a tight end, he immediately became on my radar because you're talking about a converted wide receiver and an elite athlete going to an offense that has had some upside at the tight end position. You've seen it in spurts with Tyler Higbee. If in a couple years they move on from Higbee, I could see Jacob Harris kind of taking off. I'm not expecting anything as a rookie, but I think that his upside is just so much higher than a lot of guys at the end of dynasty benches. So Jacob Harris, I think that he has a chance to be a high-end player. Obviously, the chances of that are low, but like Darren Waller light, like you're talking about like this type of potential. I don't want to get carried away, but like the path to him being a top five, top 10 fantasy asset at the position, that exists just because he's such an elite athlete.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, Dane Brugler had him as his top steal coming out in this draft as the guy that, you know, has the biggest sleeper potential. And the Rams drafted a lot of those high, you know, positional value or, you know, crazy athletic type players in the middle rounds of this past draft, including him and some other players. And I tend to think that, you know, Matthew Stafford's always had a guy, and this is assuming that Matthew Stafford is going to be around for the foreseeable future. He's always had a guy that he can kind of just throw the ball up to, and they're going to go up and climb the ladder and bring the ball down. And, you know, you look back to the Kenny Galladay's, the Marvin Jones Jr.'s, the Calvin Johnson's, and I'm not saying he's these guys, but I'm saying he brings a different skill set to the Rams right now. They don't really have any jump ball contested catch style players. So I could see him have somewhat of a little role this season, not fantasy, you know, worthy. I would assume he's not going to really garner a fantasy spot on your rosters unless you have insanely deep rosters for whatever reason. So that probably is not really going to come into play this season. But talking about dynasty, like you said, you want to bet on these high freak athletic type players, and there's no, you know, legitimate roadblock to his potential dominance down the line. If you're talking about Tyler Higbee, I mean, it's been a little bit up and down, solid player, but never really been dominant in any way. And then tight end two, that role I think is open now with Gerald Everett taking off to Seattle. Bryson Hopkins, a fourth round rookie, hasn't played yet. We have no idea what he's going to bring to the table. Harris could jump him on the depth chart if he hasn't already in going into the season. And the Rams do like to utilize two tight ends. So there is a potential for him to actually have a role as a rookie. Probably not big enough for him to be fantasy relevant, but it is definitely one of the guys that I would suggest you look at in terms of dynasty formats, especially at his current price. But that takes us into the final question here. And every year there's always one or two, or hell, if you got even more, feel free to share them. But one or two players that, you know, you are dead set on drafting, whether that's because of their cheap price or cheap price that you think compared to their relative value, or guys that you just feel are ready for a breakout or a redemption type of season, whatever the case may be. When you look at, you know, this entire fantasy landscape right now, some of the ADP prices and all this kind of stuff, is there any one or two guys in the league that you're ready to just bang the table for in any kind of format right now?
We'll stick in Los Angeles and I'll go over to Mike Williams. And I think a lot of people are kind of over how much time he misses, and he's a very inconsistent player, but he is a first round pick. He's a very athletic receiver. He wins in the same areas that Justin Herbert wins in. That's downfield. I think in the red zone, you'll be able to take advantage of these jump ball situations. And I think that the coaching staff upgrade for the Chargers is kind of being underaccounted for. Going from Anthony Lynn to Brandon Staley, obviously you guys know Brandon Staley a ton. that's a huge, huge, huge deal to me. And I think that Mike Williams in a contract year has plenty of appeal in fantasy formats. And I think a lot of people are kind of just over him. And I think that this is a year where, talk about a player like last year, Corey Davis, a former high-end pick, kind of took a while. There were some glimpses of Corey Davis, but never a full season. I think you can say the same thing about Mike Williams as the number two in a very efficient offense. And I think that Mike Williams has a chance to go from like a guy that you might want to start during the bye weeks at your flex to possibly being like an every week wide receiver three. And if anything ever happened to Keenan Allen, the rest of the Chargers depth chart at wide receiver is really, really thin. So Mike Williams has the range of outcomes where he becomes a really high-end fantasy wide receiver. So when I watched the film, Mike Williams has some really insane plays. And I think that this year could be the year where he finally puts everything together. I think a large part of that is because of Brandon Staley.
Yeah, and you know what? That was a good comparison compared to Corey Davis, who was the guy that was drafted like a few picks before him in that same draft. And Mike Williams, I like that pick because, like you mentioned, I mean, you go back to 2019, he averaged 20.4 yards per catch. This is a guy who wins downfield. Like you said, his highlight reel is, it's honestly insane. It might be the best highlight reel out of any receiver when you look at some of the insane catches that he's coming down with, a top 10 pick, a former top 10 pick. He's had a lot of injury issues, like you said, so I definitely understand why, you know, a lot of people are frustrated and don't want to deal with him potentially missing a couple of games every season. But I would be one to actually buy into that Chargers offense as well when you look at Justin Herbert. Man, he is not shy. He's going to push that thing downfield. And when you're playing fantasy football, you want guys that can create big plays, guys that can create big touchdowns. And that's exactly the type of offense that I would look at. In terms of myself, you know, I'm looking at the running back spots and I'm looking at Josh Jacobs, and he's like, I understand some of the, you know, the deterrents here. You got Kenyon Drake, who the Raiders traded for and then paid or whatever the case was. I can't even remember how they added him this offseason, but very confusing. They don't want to give the ball enough to Josh Jacobs. He's a guy who I genuinely think is one of the best and most talented running backs in the NFL. Now he needs to stay healthy and he needs to find a way to just get the ball a little bit more, specifically as a receiver, in my opinion. But I just think he's so good. He's so talented. This is a guy who always creates after contact. He has touchdown upside. He's a guy that you're not going to necessarily yank when you're inside the 5-yard line. He has that frame that can handle the punishment of playing inside down there in the red zone. So that's a guy that I think is genuinely good. You're looking at some of the other names around him, you know, David Montgomery, Travis Etienne, Miles Gaskin, Mike Davis. I tend to think that, you know, I would bet on the talent upside of Josh Jacobs around that spot personally, but I do understand that there are some downsides there as well. They added Kenyon Drake, who is one of the better receiving backs in football, and that's kind of his forte. So definitely does dampen that PPR upside a little bit, and there is some potential issues there as well. But that is going to do it for this episode. My man, Hayden, where can everyone find your work, your Twitter, and everything else you're doing?
So I'm at on Twitter at Hayden Winks, and I encourage all of you guys, if you are in a league with your high school friends, go over to Underdog Fantasy before that draft. You can do a draft for $3, $5, $10. Get yourself prepared before you go and play your buddies. And with any first-time deposit, we'll give you an additional $25 at Underdog Fantasy if you use my promo code Hayden Winks. I think it's a great website and app for your fantasy drafts. All you have to do is just draft, no roster management, none of that stuff. And if you want to learn more about it, Josh Norris and I have a podcast at The Underdog Football Show. That's going to be on YouTube and anywhere that you can find it on a podcast.
I love it. I'm telling you guys, it's worth checking out Hayden's work. This guy is, in my opinion, the best fantasy football analyst there is right now. Definitely check it out. I personally use the ADP for Underdog Fantasy as well. I know when I start writing in about a month here, so it's coming up short. It's always very useful throughout these next few months up until fantasy drafts end in September, and that's when you know, football starts. So that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, I appreciate you guys for checking back and listening to another episode here at the Locked On Rams podcast. Make sure to check back tomorrow for our Mailbag Friday episode. And just a reminder, you can come connect with us on Twitter at QBsMEP and at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.